Kildare today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge. Get Christmas all wrapped up at Whitewater.
Sylvia Lightlow, Blue Eyes there with the song saying great memories of the 80s in the discos. God, the discos. There's memories for you now with no nightclubs. We're all closed down again. Clem, would you wish Henry Carey and Owen Woods, who are over in Syria, a very happy Christmas from KT, Natasha, Mike and Mam. That's from Teresa Carey in Kilcullen. Could you send that in again, Teresa, after 10, when we'll be speaking with Private Jack Gibbons from Kildare Town, currently serving with UNIFIL in Lebanon, and Corporal Andrew McAllister from the Curragh, currently serving with UNDOF in Syria. We'll be chatting with the two lads about their duties and what's going on there and how they'll spend Christmas, and they'll be sending some Christmas greetings back home. And if you want to send Christmas greetings to any of your friends or family members serving either in Syria or Lebanon, hold on until after 10 and send them in to us then, please. So if you'd send that in again, I'd appreciate it. Happy Christmas. I really enjoy Kira and the shtick she gives you, Clem. Honest, makes me smile. Okay, good on that. And somebody's sending me a photograph, which I'll just get back to in a few minutes' time. It's a 5K run, the Mary O'Sullivan Memorial 5K run. Since Stephen's Day morning, it's starting at 10 a.m. from the Owl Shebeen in Athy and running out along the Blue Way. Oh, that's lovely out that way. €10 entry under 16s free, and all proceeds will go to the local charities with refreshments afterwards as well. The Mary O'Sullivan. God, I know Mary. That's Mary, the former Fine Gael councillor, actually, in Athy. And yes, yeah, sad times for her family. Mary, very, very hard working, very loyal member of Fine Gael, and represented the town of Athy on the council for many, many years as well. So that memorial run is on St. Stephen's Day morning at 10 a.m. from the Owl Shebeen in Athy. Now, it's also good morning to Eoin O'Riordan, Labour TD for Dublin Bay North and party spokesperson on education. Fáilte isteach, Eoin. Go raibh míle maith agat teacht, Eric Lawler.
Go raibh míle maith, Hank. Clem, agus nuala conaigh. All right. Father Gildara.
Agus tusa agus mise ír mún tuairí dar nó agus tuiscint a ghing Éireann Lawler fuin over seo. Now, you saying parents have lost trust in the Department of Education's handling of COVID-19. Why are you saying that?
Well, look, it's quite clear from a number of missteps that we should not be in a position where people are questioning the reopening of schools or questioning whether schools should be opening this week. We've had a number of indications from, you know, months ago as to how things could be handled better in schools, and they weren't followed up on. Antigen testing was recommended last April. It wasn't followed up on until a number of weeks ago. HEPA filters were recommended 18 months ago. They weren't followed up until last week. The issues around substitution weren't listened to by the minister when she seemed to be unaware that there was a problem with substitution. So to be honest, I think what the department needs to have a complete attitude change when it comes to next year, because they seem to be reacting all the time. They're not proactively, you know, interacting with school communities, trying to find solutions to problems. They seem to be, you know, firefighting all the while. And I think school communities would have an awful lot more faith in them if they felt that they were in partnership with the department, but that doesn't seem to be the way it is at the moment.
We've spoken across the three unions here, the TUI, whose two senior members actually hail from Leixlip, the president and Martin Marjoram, and also Michael Gillespie, the general secretary. We've spoken with the equivalent officers in the INTO and also in the Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland regularly on the programme, and it kind of has been moving from time to time. This desire to get the schools open and keep them open on the one hand, and yet concerns that schools might become areas of as super spreaders, if I might put it that way.
Well, there's ways of solving this. I mean, in my own constituency, we have one of the highest infection rates in the country there a number of weeks ago in Dunamead. One of the schools in that area has 55% of the students out. It doesn't take too much research for the department to know where these high infection rates are and to know where the schools are within those areas, and to proactively engage with them and to try and, you know, install HEPA filters, listen to their issues, listen to what resources they need to proactively deal with those issues, because they aren't doing that. What they're doing is sending out sort of, you know, funds that people can apply to, but you're pretty much on your own.
Hmm. I wonder, Eoin.
In that scenario, yeah.
Sorry for cutting across you. I just wonder, Mar Ir Runtori and Vertigreen. My view on this would be, I'd be very uncomfortable if I was in front of a class in particularly at the moment. I don't know if you'd share that view, with reports that up to 40% of parents have kept children at home this week. It seems to me, on the outside looking in at this stage, as if the government on the one hand is doing everything it can to reduce and mitigate social action with the threat of Omicron. And yet, on the other hand, we have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands maybe, of students congregating in our schools around the country. Would you have closed the schools this week if you were Minister for Education?
No, I wouldn't have. But I would have thought long and hard about it. And it's, I've been, you know, listening to people on the other side of this debate, and I can understand where everybody, where different people are coming from. But at the same time, you close schools, that's a very big decision to make. You're putting, you know, a million young people back into their homes. It means that they have to be minded. It means that childcare has to click in. If you're a healthcare worker who's trying to, you know, keep the hospital system working this week, you all of a sudden have a childcare issue you have to deal with. You know, and for children in disadvantaged areas, for children with special additional needs, you know, not being in school, that lack of school time does have a profound effect on them. And if you close schools this week, it could be very difficult to open them in January. So,
could I just broaden the debate?
I mean, on balance, we always feel that we need to do something.
Yeah.
And sometimes doing, you know, not taking an action is probably the better thing to do than to doing something.
And could I broaden it then a little bit? Because you mentioned there about, yes, of course, if the schools are closed, there are tens of thousands of parents who work and need to work and need that money coming in, who now say, what am I going to do with the kids? And does that then, like the hospital situation, whereby we're closing down the economy to save the hospitals because of a lack of investment in the hospitals, in particular ICU, over the years? And in terms of the schools, are they being kept open because of a likewise similar lack of investment in affordable childcare in this country over the years? Just last week in the programme, we compared the astronomical prices in Ireland as opposed to very manageable prices in countries like Sweden, Finland, Czechoslovakia.
Well, look, these are wider societal questions that we've been trying to raise in the Labour Party for a long time, but we're not going to solve them over the few weeks of Christmas. So that this is the issue. But when it comes to childcare, you're right. No other European country would look at Ireland and say that that is a sustainable model, where people are paying literally tens of thousands of euro a year in childcare, when in other European countries there's a free at the point of access public childcare system, which is aligned often to the primary school. But in Ireland, what we do in our political discourse, we have political parties saying we'll give you some tax cuts that could get you 600 quid back a year, whereas what they're actually paying for in terms of school books and school uniforms and school transport and, of course, childcare is multiples and multiples of that. So I think we have to get back to this argument of, if a political party tells you that tax cuts are the way to go and you that sounds attractive to you, well, then they are not offering you what every other European country takes for granted, which is free school books, free childcare, public utilities such as that. And what happens when you have a pandemic like this or a crisis like this, those fault lines are absolutely exposed. And the fault lines in education are being exposed because we have a Department of Education that feels it funds the system but doesn't run the system or doesn't engage itself in the day-to-day management of schools. So there's a few things I think the department needs to do. One is, as I said, to deal with high infection areas differently. Secondly, I think we should use our school infrastructure as vaccination centres for young people from 5 to 12 in the new year. I also feel we should prioritise school staff, regardless of their age, particularly if they're young people, because they're the ones in the front line working in our school system. And thirdly, I do feel it's time to make a decision on the Leaving Cert. I don't think we can go back to the way it was in 2019 this year. We should roll out the way we did last year, a hybrid exam between written and assessed grades.
Okay, and that's, as you say, down the road in that. But isn't the government, in fairness, caught between a rock and a hard place? Because, with all due respect, Aaron Reardon, I know what you're saying, and it'll resonate with many people in regards to that. But in terms of, some people might retort, it's easy to say that from opposition, whereas the parties in government have to govern, and the whole pandemic is so unpredictable that it can change from day to day.
We are the only party in opposition to have backed the restrictions every single time. We are the only party in opposition because we understand that we need to protect the health service. And that's why I was disappointed when Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, backbenchers and senators, arrived out in the Plinth and Leinster House on Friday, getting upset about the 5 o'clock closing of hospitality. We haven't seen them when it came to what frontline workers were talking about. We haven't seen them when it came to what people in education were talking about. But when it came to the closure of pubs and hospitality at 5 o'clock, you know, it was you know, lines in the sand and the flag of war is raised. It was quite a ridiculous sight, to be honest.
Okay.
But we as a party are quite, you know, clear in what we're trying to do. We're trying to support governments. We voted every single time in favour of unpopular restrictions because we understand that the health system is under strain. Having said that, we have to learn lessons from this. And I'm in politics 10 years now, Clem. I think one of the biggest mistakes we made after the financial crash of 10 years ago is that we didn't learn the lessons properly enough. We didn't learn as to how much public infrastructure is needed. And I think after this pandemic, if we return back to a conversation about tax cuts and not serious investment into the infrastructure that people need in their lives to bring down the cost of living and in public services, well, then we'll have, again, twice in 2 years and 10 years, lost huge opportunities
All right.
To change the way we do things in Ireland.
Let's hope we've learned our lessons, because the world is a different place and is going to be a different place permanently into the future. Aegon O'Riordan, Grimile Malgut, Asocht
Vel, Eldar, and you.
Agus Nolly Conna Ditcha Freshen. That's Aegon O'Riordan, Dublin Bay North, then TD and party spokesperson on education, reflecting on the schools situation. From just a personal viewpoint, I wouldn't be ruling out the idea that schools might be closed for some period in the new year, but we'll wait and see anyway regards for that. Happy birthday to Noel Kay of Monasterevin from his sister Marie Heavey and nephew Jimmy in Cowpasture. Regards to that. What else? Hi Clem, when you're chatting with the councillors later on in the show, would you please ask them why on earth there was no one out salting the footpaths on Sunday morning, especially the one leading up to Naas Hospital? It was like a skating rink. Very hard for elderly people to walk in, says Joe in Naas. Actually, Joe, we'll check that out later for you as to what are the salting plans for the council this winter. But here's the news anyway, weather-wise. Tomorrow it's going to be raining, quite a bit of rain. Thursday will be dry. Friday's expected to be wet as well, and Christmas Day also. Look, it's very, very mild weather. And to be honest with you, for those who'd love a white Christmas, it's grand and romantic. But I think we've enough problems at the moment without trying to cope with ice and snow and everything. She's shouting Scrooge in my ear now at the minute. That's why I'm being put off a little. Morning, Clem. I was in Belfast last week as a listener. Yes, there are lots of bargains and savings to be had compared to the South, the Republic. But people should be aware there is a total disregard for mask wearing and social distancing in shops, malls and crowded areas up there. It was astonishing how people disregarded the COVID issue. You need to be very careful and aware for your own safety. We'll be speaking, Ciara will be speaking with Dermot Jewell, Chief Executive of the Consumers Association of Ireland, about cross-border shopping and whether bargains are available. That'll come around 10:30.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge. Get Christmas all wrapped up at Whitewater.
Hopefully, indeed, we'll see better times, as Bernard Drucken said, in 2022. I noted yesterday, by the way, the World Health Organization is hopeful that 2022 will see the end of this pandemic. But here's one thing, they insert this caveat. Unless we share our vaccines with the rest of the world, where, you know, very small numbers in third world countries are vaccinated, we'll always have this. This is a case of where we all must be in it together in sharing the vaccines, and not just in the Western world. I see Rada Cronin tweeting yesterday as well in regards to undocumented people in this country. There's a cohort that haven't been mentioned. We've talked recently on the programme here about people from Eastern Europe and a lot of migrants who are not taking up the vaccines. And we were speaking maybe with those who are officially registered here. But there are thousands of undocumented migrants in this country who would be afraid to go for vaccine for the simple reason that their details would then be recorded and they might be in danger of being deported. Well, according to Rada Cronin tweeting yesterday, she said she had got a call from an undocumented youngster that she was assisting to say he'd had his first vaccination, and she said huge thanks to HSE CH07 for their help. And she added this message: if you are undocumented, you are eligible for a free vaccine. Your details won't be shared with social services. And contrary to views out there, you won't need a photo ID either. So if any undocumented people are listening and are worried and would like to get the vaccines. You can do it. Your details will not be shared with social services or any other government department, and you don't need a photo ID. Kira.
Yes, Clem, I just have had a listener on touch on 045 901 490 and it's regards to Kildare Town. They're saying that there's lights out on the Melita Road in Kildare Town, about 150 yards, and it's very dark. It's been for about 2 or 3 weeks, this situation. Now, about 3 to 4 requests or complaints have been put in to the SSE electricity company that do service the lights, and John in Kildare Town would just like this highlighted because the issue still has not been dealt with, so hopefully we'll be able to get on to them and see what we can do in regards to that in Kildare Town. Moving on though, we are speaking with Independent Councillor for Selbridge Leixlip MD, Ida Cusson. Good morning, Ida.
Good morning, Kira. How are you?
I am well, thank you. We're going to begin with the motion that you asked the council to undertake a road safety assessment. This is of the pedestrian traffic lights in Confey.
No, I didn't. Sorry, that's not mine.
Oh, apologies, Ida. Sorry.
So it's okay, but it's not mine.
Yes, no, I see that now. Apologies.
So you had me there now for a minute.
I did. Merry Christmas and all that. No, you asked for an application for funding to be made to the NTA for pedestrian cyclist improvements. This is on the Shackleton Road, and it's to include the junctions from the housing estates where they exit onto the road.
Yeah, and it was positively received, and there is a sustainable transport team that will look at it in early 2022 and put it forward, more likely, as it ticks all the boxes for a scheme that should be put forward. There are a number of housing estates which would have wide entrances, entrance stroke exit from a housing estate onto the Shackleton Road, because that's the design at the time. And nowadays the cyclists in a cycle lane will come to those housing estates and shoot right across, for example. So we need to have a big survey done of that road and make some changes. There's a particular concern where it meets the Agards Road. And we have a fantastic fleet of buses now with the local buses coming between Selbridge and Leixlip. And there's a bus coming up that way every half hour and down the other direction in a half hour. So at that junction, unfortunately, there are an awful lot of cyclists who come down on both sides of the road from our guards, and often in the dark these days with no lights, wearing dark clothes, coming into oncoming traffic. So I have been in touch with the superintendent of the district and asked that actually be dealt with as well, because there is a big concern. The road has gotten busier and bigger in later years.
Okay, and a time frame on that, Ida?
Well, it'll go forward for obviously for to have an assessment taken place. There will be some small things that could be done by KCC in the meantime, like through the roads department, through our area engineer, but they would be small fixes, but there's a bigger job needed. Okay. Hopefully not too long, because we've had huge roadworks there and lots of changes to junctions and that there already. So it is part of the same that it needs tying in, yes.
Okay. You also asked for an update on the assessment of the bend on the Clane Road after Lover's Lane. Just remind listeners exactly where this is.
Just after Ardross House there, on the road from Selbridge out to heading out to the Barbastown roundabout, passing Ardross on the left. There's a bad bend there. There is a chevron there, and you can see it when you're driving along on the left-hand side or heading out, as if you were to go to Clane. But unfortunately, if you missed or you skidded anywhere there at all or anything happened, there is a ditch there and you would find yourself in a bit of trouble there. So they will be putting the bollards in place there, yeah.
Now, you asked the council to hold meaningful discussions with the Municipal District Committee to identify sites for the annual drop-off collections of large or recyclable items, as in the absence of a civic amenity centre in the MD. What was the response there, Ida?
Yes, it's positive, and we will move on that. As you know, we're meant to have a civic amenity centre there at the interchange in Selbridge. It has been planned, the Part 8 has been approved, but we also know that the funding has not come through yet for that. I get a feeling, being on the Environment Strategic Policy Committee and also reports that we're getting to members from Environment, that this is a long way away still, which is very unfortunate. So in the meantime, the population of the Selbridge Leixlip, and including Maynooth and Clane and Kilcock and probably other parts of Dublin, all need a civic amenity centre. So for the people of Selbridge and Leixlip, which we're primarily concerned with, we need somewhere to bring our bulk items to. Every other area has somewhere, be it south of the county, Cilliatale, Lithgow, but unfortunately in Selbridge Leixlip, we're told go to Dublin. Okay. So I've had that grievance before. We pay all our taxes in Kildare. We need services in Kildare. So the first thing that's happening as a result of this and ongoing, I've been chatting about this throughout the year because obviously Christmas trees, we love buying the Christmas trees. And then when Christmas is over, where do we bring the tree to leave it back somewhere? And there has been nowhere in the Selbridge Leixlip area. So there is now, and it's at the interchange there for recycling of Christmas trees.
Great.
We have a meeting in early January with Environment to discuss the annual collections that we could have in our MD while we wait on this Civic Community Centre.
Okay, Ida Cusson, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thank
you, Ciara, for the moment. The Omicron COVID-19 variant has been reported in 89 countries. I wonder, by the way, about all these people who said that the COVID was a conspiracy over so many years. And what happened to all the protests and everything else? The number of cases, the World Health Organization says, are doubling 1.5 to 3 days. Okay, in 1.5 to 3 days, they're doubling in areas across all communities. 2 years into the pandemic, the United States is confronting another dark winter with the Omicron variant threatening to worsen dangerous cases, they say, in regards to that. 2 years into the pandemic, the cumulative number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the United States exceeded, are you ready? 50.8 million as of yesterday, with the death toll in the US surpassing 806,400 cases. That's according to data released by Johns Hopkins University. So if anyone thinks this is not a problem here, across other countries, the Netherlands is into total lockdown since Monday. Britain reporting a huge surge, 95,000 cases yesterday, an average of 85,000 a day. Germany has ruled out a Christmas lockdown, but warned a fifth COVID-19 wave could no longer be stopped in that country. Italy is considering new measures to avoid the surge of infections over Christmas. The Kremlin in Russia is convinced that the World Health Organization will recognize Russia's flagship Sputnik V vaccine within a few months. Japan is going to extend a curb on foreigners entering the country beyond year end. Thailand's public health ministry is proposing reinstating mandatory quarantine. Australian authorities are resisting calls to make masks mandatory indoors and limit the numbers of patrons at various venues. And in China, Beijing says it's advising residents not to leave town during the Christmas season or during in early 2022. In France, the regulator has approved vaccines for children 5 to 11 in terms of all of that. So that's the measure around the world. And I think it brings home to those who said at the very beginning, COVID's only a conspiracy, it's this, that or the other. Well, I think we know kind of differently now in regards to that. It's good morning to Fine Gael councillor on the Atay Municipal District, Ivan Keatley. Welcome aboard, Ivan.
Morning, Sam. Thanks for having me.
And thank you indeed for joining us. You had 4 motions, by my record, on the agenda of the meeting. That meeting was only held yesterday, was it, I think?
That's correct, yeah. Yesterday morning.
All right, okay. Let's get underway with your first motion anyway, in regards to that. You want the council to put the Dunlavant to Kilgowan Road. There's a lot of noise there in the background, Ivan. If you could help me out.
One second, Sam. Yeah, I'm just stepping into a room here now.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. In regards to live radio, folks, the joys of it. Anyway, the council, you want them to put the Dunlavant to Kilgowan Road on the roadwork schedule for 2022 to improve the road service and sightlines.
Yeah, this road has gone into very bad repair over the last number of months, Clem, and a lot of it is due to a high volume of traffic now coming from South Kildare up to St. Kevin's Secondary School in Dunlavin. There's a huge cohort from Narromore, Kilmeade, Ballytor heading that way every morning. There's several school buses and all you have to do is stand out on it at 8:30 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
But the council says there are no plans to improve the sight lines, as this would require a full design, they say, so not good news. Land acquisition would have to be dealt with and the source of funding to be identified, so not going to happen by the looks of it, Ivan.
Well, no, it actually is. The area engineer clarified at the meeting that the lads are actually up on that road today, just doing a bit of patchwork, trying to keep it, get it into a good enough shape for the winter. And he has it on his work list for resurfacing next year. So while the sight lines mightn't be done, Clem, there is work to be done along the existing road lines, and I think that will be sufficient.
All right. What about moving towards the council's active travel team? You want them to progress various cycle and walking measures. Recently on this programme, we covered the walk by residents in Calverstown to Ballyshannon. Any better news for them as regards the footpath link there or the other developments that you'd like regarding cycling and walking in the municipal district?
Well, I suppose if I start with the good news, Clem, is that the council have agreed that Donal Hodgkin, senior engineer, on an active travel team, and we have an active travel team in Naas now, which we didn't have this time last year and the year before when we looked for that walkway and other walkways around the county. And you'll see from the response there that the NTA have prioritised a number of projects. Now, unfortunately, the Calverstown one is not on that list at the moment, but we are sitting down with Donal in January to discuss how we can progress projects such as the Ballyshannon to Calverstown walkway, cycleway, pedestrian way, whatever you want to call it. It needs to get done, and as you outlined on the programme a couple of weeks ago, there was a fantastic turnout that morning, 120 pupils and a huge crowd from the village of Calverstown as well. So all of the members are in full support that this needs to happen. We're willing to stump up the money from local property tax, and we need the council to come on board now. So hopefully we'll have good news from the general
meeting. All right. Good news as well for Narramore Village, by the way. Your motion about work on the Oak Park area of Narramore has been completed and will be hoped to complete the public realm works in 2022. And finally, Ivor, you're staying on the topic of roads. If sections of the main Baltinglass to Castledermot Road are to be resurfaced in 2022?
Yeah, again, good news here, Clem, in that it is planned. It was actually planned to have some of that work done this year. Didn't happen due to lockdowns and one thing or another. But again, the area engineer informed us that he has sections of that road on his work programme. There are a couple of planning permissions ongoing at the moment for gravel pits in particular, which include, as you'll be aware and as your listeners will be aware, a lot of heavy HGV traffic, and he wants to ensure that there's adequate funding coming from those development levies to match the funding coming from the Exchequer, so that there's as the fellow says, a once in a 20 year job done, so that it doesn't have to be revisited again. So we are going to stay on that one, Clem, because we have to make sure that, you know, development levies are paid from these developments to make sure that the fair share is the burden is shared, I should say.
All right.
So we'll stay on it.
Okay, happy Christmas, Ivan, to you and yours. Thank you for your contributions during the year. Stay safe out there.
You too, Clem. Thanks for having me.
That's Councillor Ivan Keatley, Fine Gael Councillor on the Athy Municipal District.